This seemed to be a total mystery. The Neolithic people were building these perfectly good mud brick houses, staying for a couple of hundred years, and then suddenly taking off and leaving, forming a new settlement a few kilometres away. But why? Well, the answer may lie with a key bit of information we know about farming. Howard Griffiths is Professor of Plant Ecology at the University of Cambridge.
So when farmers crop land for too long, you tend to get that one crop uses similar amounts of nutrients year on year. So you tend to get progressive impoverishment of the soil, and also you tend to get build-up of pathogens. So the two things tend to mean that progressively yields tend to decline with time.
Right, so if I'm having a field of wheat that I wanted to run through year after year, the wheat would eat the same nutrients again and again out of this soil that wouldn't have any way of replenishing them, and the same diseases that like the wheat as well would be building up year on year.
Yeah, and it's exactly what we see in East Anglia here, where we have a take-all which progressively reduces wheat yields, and that's why we have to rotate crops.
So what's crop rotation?
Well, basically it means that under the current example, you grow a single crop perhaps for 2 years at most before switching to another crop to allow the soil to recover.
How does the soil get its nutrients back?
Well, two ways, really. One is that the increased weathering brings in more nutrients from the bedrock. And that is, of course, helped by the roots, which actually help to digest some of the rocks with the acid waters going down through. Otherwise, through fertilisers that come in, some naturally as a result of lightning bringing in nitrogen, others of course through manures. And that's where progressively early man probably would have learnt fairly quickly that some form of manuring would aid crop productivity.
And so if you replaced wheat with something else, then also the bacteria or whatever it was that was feasting on the wheat would have nothing to eat and hopefully disappear as well.
Yes, that's the general idea. Yeah, so it just gives a break. And so then the land is healthier and more nutrient rich, ready for the crop when you replant it.
How long does it take for a soil to recover between wheats?
Well, as I say, currently, I think it's in the region of between about a year or so, or a year or two following intensive cropping. Although I believe in the east of England, there are some farmers that are able to get through this kind of rather impoverished time and can grow wheat continuously. But it tends to result in lower yields.
And this is exactly why the archaeologists think the settlements were moving around the landscape. They had only just started to farm, so hadn't hit upon this idea of crop rotation, but they were finding their yields were less and less each year. So, after using up all of the land around a settlement, it was time to move on. But what kind of things were they farming? Back to Howard.
Okay, well, the earlier evidence suggests that we started to select early wheat varieties. There's one variety called einkorn, which, as it sounds like, it just has a single grain in its ear.
Wheat's quite surprising because if you look at wheat, and I guess you don't realise you can turn it into tasty, tasty bread and pasta, it doesn't look sort of immediately useful. I'd much rather something I could eat straight away.
Well, like all of these things, one wonders, you know, how much of this was found by accident in conjunction with leaving grains near the fire and so on. But we do know that the early Neolithic man had breads and had found ways of grinding grains to make flour. So it rapidly became adopted, I think, as a staple diet. We have wheat and barley were early domesticates, but also things like poppy and flax and some legumes as well. So lentils and vetches and so on. Those were the earliest crops.
How have those crops themselves been changed by our repeated farming of them? Have they, would they be recognisable, I suppose?
Well, it's an interesting question to the extent as whether the seeds have actually increased. What we certainly have managed to do is select grains with increasing yields, but at the same time, we've been able to build on a number of chance hybridizations whereby two grasses accidentally merged their genetic basis, and that led to this hybrid effect with increased yield. And that ultimately has led us to, with the characteristic wheat ear that we now recognise. Whereas if you saw one of those early wheats, you'd scarcely recognise it as a crop that we'd recognise as wheat today.
Oh, Right. And in terms of the farming itself, how has that developed in the last 10,000 years? I imagine quite a bit.
Well, indeed. I mean, there's a lot of debate in the UK about the extent that the forests were initially cleared in the, what's the Stone Age. But I think in the UK, certainly, we think that the chalk was cleared first, which would have been the uplands because of the, it's the lighter soil. So it's easier to plough with early sort of stick ploughs and so on. And that would have been cultivated initially. The argument goes that it was only later... About 1,000 years BC or so, that the iron shod plough came in from Belgium and so on. And that then led to the heavier clays being tilled.
What is tilling?
Well, basically, it's a question of having cleared the basic forest. It's then a question of creating a seed bed, because what growing crops is all about is creating a monoculture. And in fact, funnily enough, some of the earliest Neolithic sites have seeds of weeds, very characteristic as well. So sort of speedwells that we characteristically find in our flower beds and so on today. Presumably, they were weeds that were growing amongst the crops, the barley and wheat, that were being cultivated by those earliest farmers.
Howard Griffiths there from the University of Cambridge.